Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, folks, and welcome to the Elijah Winfrey Show. I am your host, Elijah Winfrey, joined by my wonderful and talented co-host, Tony Boucher. We have a great show lined up for you today. We are excited about our guests this week. Before we get to that, though, we would like to catch you up on things that we've been doing throughout the week, heading into the weekend. Tony, how's it going, my friend?
It's going well. I've been busy wrapping up a few projects that have been in the works for a long time. I think I've mentioned that myself and another partner have been working on a healthcare helper workbook for autistic adults to take to doctor appointments with them. And so we've been putting the last finishing touches on that so we can get that out as a tool for teens and adults on the spectrum. And so I'm excited about that. And I've just been running my groups with my teens and adults and just love that. They're always just so inspiring to me, and I just admire their tenacity and their hard work and willingness to support each other and learn about themselves and grow. So how about you? I'm really excited to hear what's going on with you, because last time we talked was before the big event, and I've been waiting anxiously to hear how it went.
Well, the big event you're talking about is my charity golf event that happened last Friday. It was an absolute success. It was a fun day, had by all. I had a ton of requests to play. You know, that was the running theme for at least the first part of the event. I put my name down to actually participate as a tease, knowing that I wasn't going to play. I didn't really have time to practice, but I kind of threw my name out there, and when they found out I wasn't going to play, they were like, oh, you should have played. We wanted to see you play. We've never seen you play, and that kind of thing. But it went really well. Julie Angsty gave a great speech. She's a mom who has a son on the spectrum, and she gave a touching speech about a day in the life of her son, Owen. Joel. And it was all you wanted, you know. After she gave the speech, you know, a lot of the participants interacted with her, and you know, she was excited, you know, overjoyed. I don't know what other word I could use to display the amount of emotion that she received and she gave back. It was sunny. It was warm. Shout out to Coach Team Som, who actually won the event. Those kids can hit the ball. Great manners. They're going to go a long way in the game of golf. And they're going to be great leaders outside of the game. We raised good money, not enough to offer another scholarship this year. I would like to shout out Craig Mills of the Miracle League of Vancouver. As I stated earlier and throughout the year, you know, this spring we gave out 22 scholarships to special needs kids to play baseball, and that was pretty amazing. So I kind of talked about that. And then you kind of let the players go out and play and ask questions as you're walking and taking pictures. And you know, a lot of the players were actually amazed at the work that I do. They hear about it, but they, you know, sometimes they say, well, you know, we hear about you here and there. But to hear Julie talk, and then to hear me go in depth about autism and why it's important to me, you know, left a lot of players, you know, some were speechless, some were like, wow, you know, we totally get what you're doing, and we're on board, we'll be back next year to support you and your cause. So it was a great day. You know, I definitely want to shift more in making the event more inclusive with kids on the spectrum to play. You know, I really encourage them to come out and play if possible. So, and as far as my week, you know, I'm getting ready for my last tournament, and I'm excited. It's a big event for a lot of us that are playing in it, and, you know, I'm dedicating it to not just my dad, but There are some friends of mine who are battling cancer, who are beating cancer right now. Two have passed away, but I have three friends who are still battling hard and kicking cancer's butt. So, I'm going to make it about them, in my last event before shutting it down and getting ready for the off season and getting back into the community. So, busy, busy, busy. Mm-hmm. Nothing ever changes here.
Yeah. So you've held off on going to the school lately with the tournament and getting ready for your last game, right? You haven't been at the school.
Right. So I'll go to the first day. So school here starts next week. So I'll be there for the first day, and then in California after that, and for about 2 weeks, and then I come back, and then I'm into the school and giving back and interacting with those young kids and seeing the future leaders. So I'm definitely excited about that.
I get excited hearing about that because it's just so neat to have, healthy role models in the school like that. Yeah, our school started last week, so we're wrapping up our second week here in Charleston. So,
wow. Those were the days. I try to tell my son, right about now, I'd be in school, so enjoy this last little week that you have, before you go back. It's a bit different.
Yeah.
All right. So today's guest, I don't know where to start. In meeting this guy, we met on Twitter. I want to say, if I'm correct,
we met on Twitter too. I think
exactly. Mm-hmm. And
but our guest and I met on Twitter as well. So we all met on Twitter.
See, and again, if used the right way, it is so powerful. This guy is amazing. He's an outstanding father. He's got outstanding kids. And I'm happy to invite Daniel Korins to the show today. Daniel, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to see some of my fellow Twitter mates doing such a fine job.
We're so excited to have you. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Outstanding. So I don't know where to begin, Daniel. I'll just say this at the very beginning. I am a huge fan of yours. Love your family. I love the work that you're doing. Your son is awesome. Just going through some of the pictures and following the journey, it is quite amazing. Take us back to how this all began for you.
Okay, and I would put that right back to you for your wonderful family, who I also follow. So give them all my love and my regards. So it really goes back to a very different experience for something very common, which is all of our young kids who go through the journey of autism. My son, Michael, even though he was diagnosed at three, did not have classic autism. He was very, very social, very, very communicative non-verbally, and then started to withdraw as he got older and he couldn't keep up because he has processing delays, one of the things that often accompany autism. But we recognized at an extremely early age his talent for music. At age two, he would hum Beethoven's Fifth Symphony when a guest came and go, ba 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 ba. So we started encouraging that. And when he went through some rough times later and in middle school, it was a great help. And the lesson we learned is that we concentrate too much on trying to make autistic children normal, trying to teach them the way the school curriculum goes. When what we should be doing is focusing on their strengths, improving their self-esteem, and teaching to them the way that they learn. For my son, that's music. And the interesting part about this is the difficulties that he ran into despite his talent. and I'm getting very long-winded, so please interrupt me whenever you want. But when my son went into high school, he was in a special needs program within a mainstream high school. He, after having had total acceptance in elementary school and so forth, the school didn't want to let him participate to be included into the mainstream music program. He thought, the director of that program thought it was an inappropriate placement because my son wasn't learning the same way, and he would pick up his socks, he would twitch a little, and for him that was a great impediment. So even down to the sensory issues, in fact, they tried to place him into a special needs course, and we said, well, that's fine, but he has the talent to be in a regular course, and he shouldn't be excluded. And as part of that, when that happened, the first concert of that year, he was directed, okay, so if he's going to do this, he has to stand like a statue. And when you tell that to a kid who is obsessive compulsive and has sensory issues, it's not the best method. My son couldn't go to the bathroom for a week after that. If you look at the video of that concert, he was just absolutely terrified he was going to make a mistake. So that's when I decided to start a YouTube channel. Something good came out of this as a way of documenting that my son had a special talent and that it should be nurtured instead of battled. And so something good came out of that because that's when I decided to start his YouTube channel and put him on social media. The response was wonderful right away. And we've met people from all over the world as a result. And Michael has gone to sing all over the world.
It's wonderful. And I got chills when you talked about recognizing that your son had some passion and talent and that you were going to find a way to let him learn in whatever way was going to help him express that. And I think that's just really beautiful and wonderful. And you know, one of the big questions that I have for you has to do with fatherhood, because a lot of the people that I work with, the young men that I work with, have strained relationships with their fathers. They want a positive relationship with their dad, but that's something that is often not they're not feeling like that's achievable. And you've really been successful at having a really wonderful relationship with your son, and I see that one of the things you've done is you've taken that talent and that passion and you've really helped to build him up and support him with that. So I know that that's one of your secrets of success. But I'm really curious, what are some of the other things you've done to have a good relationship with your son? Because father, it's different for fathers than it is for moms. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, the first thing is getting into your child's world. Now,
absolutely.
One of my great discoveries was as one person who was an early diagnoser of my son said, my wife and I were describing, you know, our various backgrounds, it became clear that. Well, her comment was, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And it turns out that in many ways, my son and I think very similarly. He is heavily OCD. I have a mind that works as an OCD mind. The way that I process things, the way I think visually, autism is a spectrum. And I'm probably on the borderline of that spectrum. So I was able I was able to get into the why my son was reacting badly to certain things, how he got sensory overload, and how he thought. And even though I'm a horrible singer, I was a semi-professional musician, so I was able to relate to my son on that level. And even though all of the talent belongs to my son, I was able to channel it and to arrange some of the music for him and understand how he learned music. Every autistic child is different, as every child is different. And my son learns and retains things very differently. And there's an important lesson in that, because a lot of times, since my son presented differently, and there were, if there was complex music in a chorus or so forth, he doesn't sing right away because he has a photographic mind. He records the music in his head. And if it's simple, he'll do it right away. But if it's a complex piece, he's recording every part. He's taking in every molecule of information, and he tries to do everything at once. And after a while, he processes it. And when I'm told, well, you know, he doesn't really seem to be getting it, I'm saying, wait a day or two. Then a day or two later comes, and he knows it perfectly. But that's not the way the schools teach children. So it's been a big battle going forward.
Yeah, and I'm thinking of another person I know who has some real musical talents that's struggling right now with the schools because it's not the way that they teach. So I think it's just wonderful that you have taken his strengths and are harnessing that, because everybody benefits if we let people learn the way they need to.
See, and the most important thing about that to me is not his musical talent per se. It's something that's going on with him that, you know, applies probably to all children on the spectrum. As my son got older, he withdrew more and more into himself. He shies away from conversations. He has word retrieval problems. But the fact that he's so recognized now for his musical talent, he's in a young adult singing group of kids of various musical levels, but it's a social skills group. And in that group, he has become so comfortable, and they're the kids, you know, some of them stim, they rock, some of them are nonverbal, but everybody accepts everybody. And because Michael is in his sweet zone, music, he's looked up to, and he has opened up, he's having conversations, the group is deciding what to do, so it's a social, rather than being told. So it's a social skills group that doesn't focus on teaching the kids what we think they should know, but where their interests and strengths are, Michael is using that to develop friendships and to motivate himself where he doesn't have those strengths. And I think that's the key with these kids.
I agree with you 100%, and that was just so well said.
Absolutely.
And I think what's interesting about that is it's not, we don't have to wait for some proclamation from Congress or, you know, for some big grant to come down. I mean, people can have these social groups. You know, if somebody loves music, get a social group around music going. If somebody loves knitting, get a social group around knitting going on. Or art, whatever, you know, golf, whatever it is. You know, we can make these things happen in our communities, and it's exactly what you said. When it's based around that kind of interest or passion, the social skills come out naturally because we're motivated to interact with people and we feel comfortable. So it's a really, really excellent idea that can be replicated in any community. So thanks for sharing that. Really great idea.
You know, and just to build on that, most of these kids have social impulses. They feel great emotions and feelings of empathy. But typically their mind is taking in so much more information than people who are not autistic. The term is now neurotypical people, that they can't process all the information at once. And the key breakthrough, so because of that, we have to find other ways of teaching them and having them express themselves and socialize. And, you know, the key for me, like I was like any other parent. I had this wonderful, very active, expressive kid in my case who began withdrawing. And you try to find a cure for that. And I started recognizing the similarities in the way he thought to the way I thought. And suddenly I realized, little by little, well, that's, I eventually realized, you know, it's wrong to try to cure somebody like that because they think a certain way. And if you were to take that literally, people use the word cure a lot of times in a very unscientific way. But if you were really to cure a kid with autism, in my view, you've just erased that child. And there's a lot of controversy with that. I'm starting to get a lot of feedback on some of my posts. And it's also tied to the fact that autism comes with a lot of associated disabilities, whether it be epilepsy, whether it be inability to recognize danger, and in my view, they to take associated conditions that are more prevalent with autism and say that that's what autism is. Because then we go around trying to cure the whole person instead of recognizing what their soul is about, who they are as a person, and then finding a way to work with them so that they can be happy and contribute to the world and so on and so forth. So that's a big issue for when you're an autism parent.
Right.
Do you want your son to be an absolute a reflection of yourself? In my view, I want my son to be able to advocate for himself, to be able to have the skills of independence so that he can not have to depend on anybody else. But I will also want him to be who he is.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I love
it. Well said. Now, what I want to talk about, you wrote a very beautiful article on themighty.com. I encourage all my listeners to check it out. And I've been saying this from the very beginning that I started advocating for kids on the spectrum, adults on the spectrum, homeless, low income. We have to continue to talk about this every day, not in April, not once a month, right? Not when there's just an event and then we make a big deal about it. But I want to get your opinion. Why do you think it's important to continue to talk about this? This show is all about giving guests and listeners the platform to continue to raise awareness, because I feel like sometimes it is pushed. Autism is pushed to the back pages. It isn't really talked about. You know, nobody really talks about it. And then when something happens, then everybody wants to bring it to the forefront. The article you wrote about your son is amazing. So can you talk to us about why you think it's important to continue this journey?
Well, it has to do with you can't just have autism awareness. You have to have autism acceptance, and that can be a cliche too, but what it means and what is becoming more and more of the prevalent view is that people with autism are not people who have a disease or a condition like, say, cancer. They're part of the human spectrum, and if you go through history, autistic people have thought differently and made major contributions to science, art, and other things. And we need diversity for humanity, to be able to exist and to progress. We need people who look at things different ways, who think out of the box. And autism is a very concentrated representation of that. And for many reasons, it hasn't been seen that way for most of the last century and the beginning this century. So we really have to have a conversation about that, because it's you know, autistics will always be a minority, but they're in every community, and we can either make the situation one of being a disease or a condition, or we can give autistic people the supports that they need and encourage the contributions that they can make to society. And that requires staying in conversation. You just can't have like one day a year for it.
Right. Absolutely. I just love watching and reading your page, even on Twitter. It inspires me. I mean, it is one. I wish I could sing. Period. All right. That's just
well,
neither
well,
here nor
we
there.
Have
but
in common.
But to watch Michael it's amazing. It really is. You know.
You're not kidding. He put so much heart into it. I mean, I just have to interrupt here, because for those of you listeners who have not seen him, go check him out. He is passionate at the core of his gut when he does what he does. And if the rest of the world was half as passionate about what they did, all our problems would be solved. It's really, really special to watch.
It really is. It's really,
by the way,
it is,
youtube.com/ Mike Korins, KORINS. And you can Google his name and you'll come up with all of that. And, you know, one thing about that process, Michael, when he sings a song, sometimes what he's doing, and he's coming home right now, what he's doing is he's memorizing something and copying it. And after many repetitions, something magical happens. And even if he can't fully explain the meaning of a song, the emotion just comes through and he's taken to another place. And that's what makes him such a compelling figure and an example to everybody else.
Well, I think you're outstanding. I think everything about you is outstanding. You're a role model, not just for kids and adults and parents. You're a role model to me. I thank you for continuing to educate folks like myself to get better and to reach out and help those in need. You have a friend for life in me, my friend, and if you ever need anything, please don't hesitate to reach out. And I know that goes ditto for Tony as well.
That's right.
Now,
before
we let you go, is there anything
well,
you want to leave listeners with?
Let me just say, I mean, Tony, I guess we're Twitter friends. I don't know you as well as Elijah, but Elijah, you've been very inspirational to me. I love what you're doing, and I'm thankful that you only know my good side. Now. what would you like me to comment on? I didn't quite hear that.
I was going to say, before we let you go, is there anything you want to promote, anything you want to leave the listeners with?
I'd like people to look at my son's YouTube page, because not so much to give him more celebrity, but within all your children, you can find something similar. Where they have elements of genius, and where they can inspire others and lead productive lives, and that should be at the core of what we're doing when it comes to raising autistic kids in society. And really, it's what we should be doing for all human beings.
It's what we should be doing for all human beings. Well said.
Thank you so okay. much, my friend, for taking a few moments and being on the show. You're invited back anytime, just so you know. So don't hesitate to send me a Facebook message to say, I got something to say. Can I be on your show? You're always welcome.
Okay. I won't call you tomorrow, but I'll call you soon. How about that?
I like that. Sounds good. You take care. Tell Michael we said hello.
Okay. I will. He just walked in the door, so I'll convey your good wishes to him. Thanks so much for having me.
All right.
Thank you
for being on.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Be well.
Wow. What a great guy. What a great dad. And I just love that he's got such a, I mean, he was meant to be on this show because he's got that positive attitude that let's look at how we can take things and turn them into something good. And so when, you know, things didn't go well at the school and there was somebody there who wasn't seeing eye to eye with what was in his son's best interest, well, he wasn't going to just let it happen. He was going to turn that into a positive. So what a great role model for parents.
Absolutely. I wanted to quickly shout out Kathy Marie Atkinson. You know, I know she interacts on his page quite a bit, and she's a mm-hmm. Facebook friend now, so I hope to have her on a show in the future. Going back to the school for a quick second before we get to questions here, you know, he said something that I think needs to be addressed a little more. You know, I hear this a lot where, you know, there's a reason why he or she can't be part of the team or can't be part of the class or whatever it is. You know, we have to find a way to fix that because that's just unacceptable. It's like being kicked out of class for doing absolutely nothing wrong or doing everything right, you know?
Yes, and you know, Elijah, part of the issue with that is that's what sets the environment up in our communities for the bullying, because you've got at the institutional level, at the level of that leader, that teacher, that authority figure is saying you can't be a part of. If everybody's a part of and accepted as a group, then you don't have problems with people picking on each other because we're all
correct.
Just a family. And so it's really, really important, like at a core level for schools, I think, to be finding the ways, aside from the fact that it's against the law not to include them, but just from a, you know, a basic decency standpoint, we need to include everyone to the degree that they can participate. And there are laws that protect students and give them the right to participate to the full extent that they can. There's something called FAPE, which is free and appropriate education. So we need to make sure that you know, that kids are getting access to that. I agree with you 100% on that.
Yeah, you know, I just hear it too many times, and I cringe every time I hear it. It's, you know, it makes me feel terrible when I hear that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can only imagine what the individual's feeling. You know, when everybody else is having a good time, but you're on the outside of the bubble.
Yeah.
That doesn't, you know, compute.
Yeah,
because
you twitch or you,
exactly.
move. That's, you know, clearly for this young man, you know, that's part of the process. That's part of his process. That's, you know, it's part of who he is, you know. The world would be
exactly.
a boring place if everybody stood still. I'm sorry, but that's not the world I want to live in.
Exactly.
You know,
I don't think I could sit still. not for a long time.
No, not at all, you know.
Wow.
So yeah.
Well, I'm pretty blessed that he was able to take a few minutes to talk. He's a great guy, and I look forward to having him on the show for many
again,
more episodes
yeah.
to come. So it's gonna be great.
Yeah, he brought up a lot of really, really important great issues.
He did. He really did. And it's always, like I said, it's always good when, you know, you have a different perspective, you know, kind of tell you what it's like for their child or for them, for that matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you made a great point to talk about, you know, a lot of dads do turn away. They can't deal with it. You know, some leave. I've heard stories about some dads, you know,
mm-hmm.
marriages are ripped apart, you know. So it's definitely tough. So I'm glad he overcame all of that, and he's the great guy that he is. So looking forward to having him on in future episodes. Now, let's switch to questions of the week. Now, we only have one because I want to touch on Texas before we close the show
mm-hmm.
today. But before we get there, let's take one question from Jenny in Nebraska, and she wants to know, Tony, you and Eli sync together so well on the show. Did you ever see this happening so fast?
Not at all. But I remember, it's funny because the day I came on your show as a guest, I was deathly ill. I was really, really sick that day. You didn't know that. I'm confessing that now. But I knew, you know, we'd schedule it and I wasn't going to leave you in the lurch. And so I had been so sick I couldn't get out of bed for 2 days. And so,
wow.
Like, I sat up in bed long enough to do the show. And afterwards, I was like, I really, really like that guy. And I feel like, you know, we have the same philosophy, the same mission, the same message, but we come from very different worlds. I mean, I don't know enough about golf to save my life, although maybe I should learn, you know. I'd be open to that, but, you know, we have very different interests, and so it's been so much fun to get to know you better, and you know, to get to work with you on the show, and so yeah, it was really very surprising to me. Was it for you, or how did you?
For me, anybody I work with, right? I always hold them in the higher regard. I have a student, a golf student, that told me one time, Eli, you always give everybody instant respect, like before you even know them. Like, it's like you put them on this pedestal, like, and he goes, that's one of the things I admire. But that's how I was brought up, you know. My mom taught me,
mm-hmm.
hey, respect everybody, you know, until they
mm-hmm.
give you a reason not to. So in talking to you or interviewing you on you know, on the show for the first time, I just felt that instant click, right? I felt
mm-hmm.
like, wow, that's a voice that I need to get on the show somehow. So how can I convince her? Maybe she can be a co-host. I know what I'll do. I'll say I'm going to have different co-hosts on this show, and then maybe, you know, I can get her to stay, you know? But I thought from the first show, and then the second interview, I kind of thought it was an instant match. And
it was, we
feed off each
really
other
well.
Very well. Yeah, we do.
And I'm excited.
Well,
I'm just excited. Like, you know, this is the start of things, and, you know, we have future plans that we'll be working on together, and who knows where that's going to go in terms of maybe, you know, coordinating events and, you know, who knows for the future where that will
lead. Right. Listen, I'm just very thankful that I have another voice, a friend who comes at, you know, delivering the message a little different, right? I'm always looking for somebody to be a little different than I, right? I mean, I know what
mm-hmm.
my message is, but I love hearing other voices and then trying to connect the two and meet somewhere in the middle. And I feel like we do that really well, because there are things that I still need to learn about autism that you may know, right? And so it's cool to listen to you, you know, ask questions of the guests. And for me, I'm getting feedback into how you're thinking or what you think may work and how this method may be okay, but you might want to try it this way. So I feel like we connect in that regard. I'm always willing to learn and to take a step back, right? I don't know too many other people who would take a step back, but I always say, you know, you know, we're all the same, right? I can learn from you, and I hope that it's vice versa. So we definitely
absolutely
work well,
that beginner's mind is a good thing to have.
Right, and you know, this show is based on, you know, voices, not just mine, right? And I think that's the most important thing to me. Like, you don't always hear Eli. You know, you hear Tony, you hear Daniel, you hear different guests with different ideas and different approaches. I think it keeps it healthy.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I would love to ask more questions, but we only got about 5 minutes left. And
yeah,
we
have important stuff to talk about, don't we?
We do. And, you know, the folks in Texas, they are really going through it right now. And, you know, some of the images and videos that I've seen left me in tears. You know, I went out to practice the last 2 days, and it's been difficult. And, you know, staring down at a golf ball, you know, trying to practice when there are folks who are in need has been very difficult. And my heart and prayers go out to everyone that's affected in the Texas area. I've donated. I'm trying to think of other ways to give. I know a few buddies of mine on Instagram have started, you know, a clothing drive, which I'm going to be a part of. I think it's so vital right now in this world that we have to stop and really think about other folks, because when this water goes down and it's gone, these folks they're gonna go back to absolutely nothing. They're starting
mm-hmm.
over again,
mm-hmm.
and that, to a lot of people, I know for myself, would be terrifying. And they need us now more than ever. So I call on everybody who listens to the show, who follows me on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, do whatever you can. Whether it's $5, whether it's socks or shirts or toiletries, give as much as you can, because they're going to need you. We all
yeah.
need to be there mentally right now. So
we had this really serious flooding here last year in the Columbia, South Carolina area, and in the Charleston, South Carolina area. And some of the things, you know, we just take for granted. That, you know, we had calls for donations for things like toothpaste and underwear and toilet paper and for women sanitary napkins, because those things, quite honestly, were clean underwear was not available for people. And so those little things really can make a huge difference to get to people who are at a point where they have nothing. So...
Absolutely.
That's something to think about.
Absolutely. And with that being said, listen, I wish all of you a great weekend. Continue to make someone or something better. Help your fellow man or woman. Think about those less fortunate and give back. That's the most important. Until next time, take care. God bless. This has been the Elijah Winfrey Show on blogtalkradio.com. Bye-bye.